Good morning. Good morning. I've said many times this headset mic is not really made for people with lots of hair, so Stuart suggested that I shaved my head. Or we could get a different one. So if I come in bald one week, you will know why. Welcome. I would like to say Happy Mother's Day again. Even recognising this day comes with joy and pain, I would love to say Happy Mother's Day. If we have not met yet, my name is Melanie. I'm married to Stuart, and together we love and lead this beautiful thing we call real life. You are extremely welcome here today. I'm going to be speaking, and I'm going to share the platform, which is really just the floor, with my friends. Where have you gone? Yeah, Gigi and Becca and Hannah. So they are going to come up and share a bit with you as well as me. I felt God speak to me a little while ago about the labels we wear and about how he was the label maker. And I've been kind of sitting with it and trying to work out, is that a prophetic word that I would bring? Like, do you get that when you're prophetic? Like, when you hear God, sometimes you're not really sure how to bring it. And I've sat with it for a while, and I felt God just build on it. And I thought, actually, I'm pretty sure it's more than a prophetic word. And if it was just a prophetic word, it would be very long, about half an hour or something. And by that stage, I kind of thought it's probably something that I want to bring on a Sunday. And then I thought, oh, Mother's Day, that feels like a good day to bring a message of how God labels us. So I thought it'd be really fun during the sermon to have a label maker going off and labels being printed. So my knee-jerk reaction was hop on Amazon, have a little book, look. And then I paused for a moment and I thought, hang on, I know a woman who would have a label maker in her garage, sitting there ready for this moment, poised and ready. And her name is Charlotte. So I messaged her and said, Charlotte, you don't have a label maker, do you? To which she replied with, you know, a little picture of it and a list of, you know, what I've got and how it works. I was like, of course you have. So during this morning, just for the start of this preach, I've asked Charlotte to print some labels off with her label maker. See, Ben, it is useful. And I'm going to ask her to come round and... I'm going to come round. I'm going to stay here. Charlotte's going to come round and just give you a label. And it'll be one of the labels out of what we're speaking on today. So don't be offended if yours says, wake up. No, that's not a label. Pay attention, not a label either, but you could do that if you like. So Charlotte will be wandering around and she will hand you a label. The label maker is not the fastest thing in the world, so not everyone's going to get a label, all right? So, but some of you will. For some of you, you're just going to hold on to something that God says to you in the room. The message today is not just for women, it's for men and women who are here in this place and listening online, who want to know what it is God says about them. So labels are everywhere in our modern world. In fact, if you don't have a label, what have you been doing with yourselves? If you don't have a label in this modern world, well, basically, you don't really belong. Everyone has a label, and I've been asking God, why is that? That is definitely a new thing. That has not been a forever thing. That is definitely more modern thinking, modern living. That has definitely come about in the last 10 years, more so than I would say the ones before. And this is what the conclusion I came to is, labels help make sense of things that are quite complex and complicated. So instead of trying to explain this massive, great big thing about me, I can just sum it up in a word. I can say, well, I'm a mummy, and most people know what that means. It's a name or a label that helps make sense of some of the things. It does mean I feel a sense of belonging to either a group or a network or a Facebook page or something where I can belong because I also wear that label. It does, I think, in some way, shape, or form, help us feel known. Because when we say these things about ourselves, people go, oh, I get that, I understand that. And whatever conclusion they come to, or whether we think they're good or not, they do in some way, shape or form help us. We want to ultimately belong somewhere. We want to find a place where we're known. We want things to be a little bit simpler, don't we? Like, we want to be known inside our inner being. We want to be known. Oftentimes we want friendships to speed up and get to that place where I'm known, and nothing but time will help you get there. But we would like it, wouldn't we, sometimes? I walk into a place sometimes and think, oh, it'd be great if you could just kind of download very quickly who you are, what you're about, and people could know your heart and know your motives instead of taking 5 years, 10 years to get there. But I think one of the reasons God spoke to me about it is we need to be careful with the labels we wear. We need to be aware of what we're being known as and known for. We need to be thinking, especially if you're a Christian in the room, what is it I want to be known as? We need to teach our kids what it is to be labeled, and we need to help them not get stuck in things that become their identity. We need to be very careful with our children and make sure that they understand first who they are in God. I think the biggest label we should wear is the one that simply says God's. It says we're known, it says we're loved, it says we're chosen, it says we're part of something. So the label we should wear should be the one that says God's. If you've got that already, it's a great label. The other labels are good as well, but that's a great label. I felt like today's message was coming out of the Father heart of God on Mother's Day, which I really enjoyed. I thought, actually, God as a father has something to say on Mother's Day. He's a daddy who wants to remind his people who they are, what they're a part of, therefore what it should look like on the earth. He wants us, I think, leaving this place this morning knowing that I'm God's. So if you don't remember anything else, write this down. I am God's. To be honest, you could go home now. I'm not going to let you, but you could, because Hannah, Becca and Gigi have prepared. So you need to listen to what they say. But I am God's. If you leave here today knowing that in your heart, I believe that will make a difference to your life. So you'll be pleased to know I'm going to read something from the Bible, and then I'm going to invite Gigi, Becca and Hannah. I'm trying to say, is that the right order that we agreed? Alphabetical order by surname, because I couldn't work out an easier way of doing it. So I'm going to read from the Bible. If you've got a Bible with you, I'm reading from 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. If you don't have a Bible, you don't own a Bible, we would love to put a Bible in your hands. So come and let us know if you are without a Bible. If you've got it on your phone, brilliant, just open it up. Do not be tempted to go on Facebook, TikTok, anything else. Just turn straight to the Bible. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to read it in a couple of different versions. So this one I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. It goes like this. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. I'm going to read it again in the ESV. So if you've got that open in front of you and that's your preferred version, it says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you might proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And then lastly, I'm going to read it from the Passion translation, which might not be a favourite of yours, but there were a couple of phrasings in it that I really liked. It says, but you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time you were not God's people. At one time you were not God's people. Remind yourself of that. At one time you were just as lost as everybody else. But now you are. At one time, you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet. But now you are drenched with it. I love that. You are drenched with it. So these are his labels for us today. A chosen people, royal priests, holy nation, and God's. I want to describe those to you. But before I do that, I've asked Gigi, Becca and Hannah to come and join me and share some of the labels that they wear that God has spoken to them about. They're going to go one at a time and they're going to share, and then I'm going to jump up and unpack a few of those labels from 1 Peter 2, and then we're going to worship and pray together. Does that sound good? Okay, Gigi.
Hi, Real Life Church. My name is Gigi. I'm married to Aaron, and we've got two children, Eliza and Josh. We lead a life group in Real Life Church, and I'm part of the wonderful host team. And outside of church, I work full-time in finance. A few years into our marriage, the kids were young, and we moved into a new house. In the first week there, everyone else had gone to work and school, and I was cleaning the place. And in the middle of everything, I heard a gentle voice saying to me, Gigi, you are first and foremost the daughter of the Most High God. That's the point that I realized that I saw myself as a wife and a mother, and I needed a fresh reminder of my primary identity, daughter of the Most High God. And this is my designer label. And ever since, this is the label I speak over myself over and over and see God to speak over me in my quiet times with him. And I realize that in all of the things that I feel and I do, everything comes from how I perceive my identity. In the following months and during my time with God, when I felt a lack in areas of my life, he reminded me that if I am the daughter of the Most High God, my provision comes from him. He is my source in everything. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. I am loved with an everlasting love. I am loved beyond measure. When I perceive myself through the roles of wife and mother, I looked around to the lovely people around me to satisfy my needs. And God told me, Gigi, don't settle for a drop when you have the ocean. An ocean of love that Jesus is inviting me into. That doesn't mean that I don't build relationship with people around me. But if that is the primary place I'm looking for love and affirmation, I will feel the lack. Secondly, I am a visual person. God speaks to me through pictures and sometimes through clips of movies I've watched, and most of us should know this movie, the story, sorry. A lady wanted to be the most beautiful, and he often or frequently looked into this magic mirror whenever she wanted the affirmation that he is indeed the most beautiful. God told me that I needed to look into his word constantly to know who I am and how loved I am. As the daughter of the Most High God, the word reminded me of his love and my security in him. The mirror that I look into constantly, especially when I am going through a difficult situation, is the word of God, which is made alive by the Holy Spirit in me.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. My name is Becca. There are many of you here who I know and some lovely new faces who I don't know. So I'll start by telling you some of the labels in my life. So I'm a Christian. That's a label I've carried for almost 30 years since I was a teenager. I'm a wife to Andrew. That's been 17 years. And I'm a mum to Tom, who's 14, and Anna, who is 10. I'm a doctor. That's been a label for 20 or so years now. And for the last 13 years, I've worked in general practice. I'm a life group leader for about 3 years this time around. And I'm going to blame my son for this one. I'm a big Formula One fan for about the last 3 or 4 years. Season's back on. Yeah. I'm hugely blessed. I recognise that I have so very much to be thankful for in life. I'll be honest and say that I also frequently feel hugely challenged. When I was young, I had images, I had expectations, what it would be like to have children, what it would be like to work as a doctor. It turns out that these images were really rather Disney. I think many of you can probably relate to that. Actually, the more I've come to know my own personality, the more I realise that some of what God calls me to do is right on the outside of my comfort zone. In earthly terms, one of the most helpful things I've come to realise and accept is that it's not likely to change. There's not likely to come a day when all aspects of my life and my callings will suddenly become really easy. So what helps? Well, firstly, I know that I am accompanied. That's label one. God, the Lord, is always with me, and I am not alone. God spoke to me a few years ago through Psalm 16, which says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. He is accessible. He is present. He makes promises that I can access his power and know his peace. He calls me to show his goodness. What I do, I should do for him. Two verses that are particularly important memory verses that help me are 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, which says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. And Philippians 4 verses 4 to 7, which say, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Secondly, I am in community. That's label two. I passionately believe that the church is more than a building or even a people. It's God's chosen way for me, for my household, and for all of us to be taught and challenged and encouraged and held accountable, to be shown grace and to be loved. Is the church perfect? Nope. But I know that I will always grow more in my knowledge and relationship with God and be able to reflect and serve him to my best ability when I'm rooted in church community. Interestingly, Satan knows this too. There have been, and I'm sure there will be again, times when Satan has piggybacked onto the back of something that's just not quite right in my head or my heart and has tried to keep me away from church. I've learned to recognize and fight back against that. Finally, and arguably most importantly, I am free. That's label three. This is phenomenal, really, because taking it right back to reality, I am human and sinful. I get things wrong. There are things I need to reflect on and improve on. There is no way that I deserve to stand before our God who is perfect. Yet in Ephesians it says that I was chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That means that despite everything I've done wrong, any way that others have wronged me, that God sees me as holy and blameless. I get to be free. And it's the same for all of us who are saved through faith in Jesus. Phenomenal. I'd just like to finish up on being free by mentioning Galatians 5, verse 1. Because in this verse, we're reminded that it is for freedom that we are set free. It's such an obvious statement, really, but also so powerful. And I love that it's in the Bible. it reminds us that there is purpose in being free, that we need to do more than just know that we are free, that we need to really embrace freedom and seek out and know his rich love and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Hannah. For those of you who don't know me, I am a wife to Adrian. I'm a mummy to Nick and Rory, and I work almost full-time, although if you ask Charlotte, she'll say a lot more than that, for a professional services firm. In Real Life Church, I lead a life group. I'm a member of the Year 4 to 6 Kids Work team, and I also help to write some of the content for our kids' work. The two labels that came to mind when Melanie asked me to speak this morning were known and chosen. And so to start with known, I'd like to share with you a little of my story and how I've come to be here today. I was saved at the age of 36 after having come along to Real Life Church's very first Alpha course. And here I am going to give a very shameless plug for Alpha. And I'm going to tell you that it's absolutely brilliant. And also that when Charlotte invited me to come on Alpha, she thought I was going to say no. And I didn't. And I'm here. And my life has changed immensely in those last few years. So if you are thinking of inviting someone to Alpha and you think they might say no, just do it. Do it anyway. If you'd asked me before then, I would have said that I was a Christian. I believed in God. I'd been to church as a child and a teenager. I'd even been confirmed into the Anglican Church. But through doing that Alpha course, I realised that I didn't know Jesus at all. I started coming along to Real Life Church, and I had a lot of questions. I wasn't ready to commit my life to him. After all, I had quite a nice life, thank you, and I didn't really want it to change. But one day, I prayed to Jesus that if he was real, he would show himself to me. What followed over the next 6 months or so were a series of events, people put in my place, in my way that I hadn't connected with for a while, or opportunities which opened up to me, which I could not deny as being anything other than the hand of God. And when I think back to that time, the thing that strikes me is just how deeply he knew me. He knew exactly what I needed, who I needed, when I needed it, and even when I hadn't told anybody else. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know me when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. As I continue my walk with Jesus, I am humbled and blown away by this fact. He knows me inside out. He knows my heart. He knows all the times that I mess up, which, quite frankly, are frequent, and he still loves me. He shows me his kindness every single day, if only I stop and pause to look for it. Ultimately, he knows me better than I know myself. And that brings me to my second label, which is chosen. When I prayed that prayer and the Lord answered, and answered in a way that was personal to me and to me alone, he showed me that he had chosen me. He has put me in places both inside and outside of church where I can make an impact, and he has equipped me to do that. The places where he wants me to be may not always feel like they fit with my natural gifting or skill set. When they asked me to lead a life group, I genuinely thought they'd got the wrong person. In recent weeks, I have found real power and comfort in focusing on the fact that he has chosen me to be his daughter, and that is where my worth lies. In work, in particular, I have a very different skill set to many of my colleagues, and I can really struggle with that and feel that my worth is less. I nearly didn't go back to work after my second maternity leave, and we prayed for wisdom for that decision in life group. I felt a strong sense that God did want me back in that place, and he has opened doors that have enabled me to do that in a way that means that I can also support my family and serve in Real Life Church. He reminds me that he has chosen me and he has me right where he wants me to be. He's chosen me to bring his kingdom on earth with everything he's sown into me. And that is far more important than anything else my colleagues have to offer. I'll leave you with a quote from John Piper. Deeper than knowing God is being known by God. What defines us as Christians is not most profoundly that we have come to know him, but that he took note of us and made us his own. And to that I say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much, Gigi, Beck, and Hannah. I knew you'd have something brilliant to bring to us, so thank you. I'm hoping as you're sitting there, you're hearing things that are personal for you that you can grab hold of and go, yeah, I need to hear that this morning. I need to know that this morning. And as we continue through, I'm hoping there'll be more of that for you. I'm hoping that God might remove some stubborn labels this morning that you've walked around wearing as if they're you, as if they own you, that God would want to remove. And I felt this morning when I prayed, there is sometimes that sticky residue left on a label when you peel it off that is really hard work to get off. But I don't know what you're like. I'm always deeply satisfied when I manage to get all that sticky glue off and it becomes just very clear. Am I the only person who loves that? I love it when you work hard at it, and then suddenly it's gone and you're like, yes, I won the label war. I feel like there's a little bit of that going to go on this morning where God's going to give some things a little bit of a rub, and it might feel like there's a little bit of pressure there, but his heart in it is to remove labels that are not helpful for you now or for your future. Some of you have worn labels the last couple of years that have really defined how you walk and what you do or what you don't do. I do believe God wants to deal with some of that in the room and place some new labels on you, that he would like to remove some labels but give you some of his own. So we're chosen, we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, we are ultimately God's. In 1 Peter 2, it talks about us being not like them, but being like this. And it gives a description of what this is like. And we're chosen. And that was first the Jews and then the Gentiles. It was opened up in Jesus that all of us would be chosen and would be part of the chosen on the earth. You see, to be chosen means to be wanted, to be picked, to be loved. That label means that in Jesus, I can come so close because I belong here. So it's not a case of when I come into God's presence, I've suddenly got to sort out a load of things so that I can be. I'm already allowed to be. I've already been chosen before the foundations of the earth were put in place. I was chosen by him. And I love that. I remember being in a preach once where the preacher said, the doorway to heaven has a massive sign above it that says, all are welcome. And as you stream through it, you turn around and realize there's a sign on the back of the door that says, I picked you. And it's this beautiful sense with the gospel where we say, all of you can come, but when you come to God, he picked you, he chose you. It wasn't a great big wide open door that anyone could just come into. It was that before the foundations of the world were put in place, he knew your name. He knew the point at which you would surrender your life and hand it over. But long ago it was all done, which is a beautiful, freeing feeling that we get being the people of God. I am chosen in him. And I'm not chosen for a particular group or a particular people or a particular church. I'm chosen for him, which means I belong in every church that I walk into, and not because I belong to you, but because I belong to him, and together we belong to him. That's what makes us on the earth different to every other people group, is that we belong to God. It's what sets us apart, is the very presence of God is here among us as we gather, because we're His. So I heard something at the Catalyst Leaders Day this week where he said, it's not our coffee, it's not our kids' work, it's not our preaching, even though that might be great. It's actually the presence of God among us as the people of God that sets us up. Is that me bleeping? Or is it Charlotte's label maker? It's not the label maker. No, I want to keep it, Ben. It's so useful. This is what sets us apart, that we are chosen, and when we come together, there is something about God that just can't stay away from His people. So sometimes I feel like we should not wear ourselves out trying to put on the best coffee. We do serve all right coffee, though. Not wear ourselves out trying to put on a great show, wear ourselves out putting on immense kids' work or youth work. Not wear ourselves out in this, but concentrate on being the people of God where His presence dwells, because we are here, because we belong to Him, because He shows up. That is what sets us apart on the earth. It should be the thing that we maximize and we press into. We're God's people, chosen by Him. And when we gather, He cannot help Himself. He has to be there with us. We're a royal priesthood. Turn to the person next to you and say to them, you're a royal priest. You're a royal priest. And I think, dare I say this, because I like to tread on slightly controversial ground, I think we've got this a little bit wrong in our modern thinking. I think we've gone, I'm royal, I'm a queen, I'm a king, I'm the princess, I'm a prince. And I think there has been a whole host of theology around me being a prince, being a princess. I don't think that's what this is saying. It's calling us priests. We're royal priests. So there is something about us that should look more like the priesthood. And so we are men and women who minister first to God, not ourselves and our crowns and our robes and our thrones and my comfort and my whatever. To our God, we are priests who serve as part of a royal priesthood. So if you want to get your shoulders back and stand tall before God, remember you're a priest. You're a royal priest, without a shadow of a doubt. But you are a priest, and priests minister first to God and then to people. Priests' first job is to be the worshippers, is to get into God's presence and honor Him with their lives, their songs, their everything, and then to minister to people. That's our call. So if I had a label, to be honest, I wouldn't wear the label priest because it comes with all kinds of strange things lately, but I am a royal priest. That's who I am. That's what I'm called into. I'm called to worship and minister in the courts of my King. I'm called to get down low and love Him and worship Him and invite others in to also be part of that priesthood. I serve the one who is the great high priest, who lived, died, and rose bodily from the grave to stand before God and to stand between God and man. He is the greatest mediator, isn't he? I'm called to be like that, to help others see him for who he really is. I'm a holy nation, which is strange, really. I am a holy nation, a people that is set apart and holy for God on the earth. I'm called to proclaim his excellencies as part of that people. And we heard last week in the hashtag blessed, we're supposed to be utterly overwhelmed by his mercy, that we then are the merciful. That as a people, as a nation, we are to be utterly overwhelmed by him and live differently on the earth. We are not supposed to blend. We are supposed to look different. If you are a parent in the room, do not shield your kids from this. Do not help them fit in. And then when they're grown-ups, they are utterly horrified because as a Christian, they have to stand out. Help them stand out from very young. We've said to our boys over and over again, there will be things that you will not do that will make you uncomfortable and set apart. And we are sorry, not sorry, but this is what it means to follow Jesus. The price we pay, the call that we live, and unfortunately for you, because you're our kids and you were born into our house, this is where we're going. This is what it looks like. Welcome to a life where you are holy and set apart, where you look different, where you walk a different way. We are a holy nation, not called to blend and fit in, called to be set apart, stand out, bring something on the earth that looks like God. That's uncomfortable, I have to be honest. That means sometimes you're not the most popular. I've had to get very comfortable with sometimes not being liked. Oh, I tell you what, it's pain. Sometimes saying the hard things, that like costs me, like I'm wildly prophetic, that costs me over and over again. I've lost relationship, I've lost ground with people, I've lost stuff over and over again because I know what God has asked of me, and that is to stand and be His first, which is, whoa, sometimes I weep over it. That's costly. When you're a holy nation, that's costly on the earth. But we're called to be that, to be those people. And then lastly, we're God's. You and I, if you know and love Jesus, the label over your life is I'm God's. And you might sum that up by saying I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of the way. You might sum it up in any kind of way you like, but you're God's first and foremost. You're treasured by Him. You're His possession, which we often see as a negative thing. I tell you, in the kingdom, it's hugely positive. You were purchased with the blood of Jesus, the blood of His very own Son purchased your life, making you part of a kingdom of priests that serve God on the earth. That's our call. Those are our labels. That's what God has asked of us here. I'm known, I'm loved, I'm chosen, I'm God's. And I would say to people, well, I love Jesus, or I follow Jesus, or I'm a Christian, I'm going to start saying I'm God's. I'm God's. I belong to Him. I was purchased with the blood of His Son, and now I am owned in a way that means I am forever loved, forever known, forever accepted. There is nothing I can do that will ever cause God to turn away from me or chuck me out. I am His, He is mine. We're all done. And I'm bound to have things daily that I need to mop up and sort out with Him. But I am His and He is mine. So I'm going to end here. I want to encourage you to be God's. Jesus made this promise. Jesus made this possible for me to come by His blood. I belong to Him. And I think it's time in this day to get that straight. I'm His, He is mine. I'm all done. And that means I walk differently. I stand differently on the earth. I want to encourage you to be those who read your Bible and by the Spirit, listen out for the labels that He gives you. They look completely different to the labels you will find around you. They don't describe your symptoms or your brokenness or your... What they describe is who you are in Him. They are life-giving. They mean you can stand up in all of your pain and all of your disasters and all of your brokenness because He has called me chosen. I'd love us to be a people that talk about these things more than we talk about the other labels. I'd love us to get in the habit of talking to one another of what it's like in my world to be known, to be chosen, to be loved, to start changing the atmosphere around us when we're out and about with other people. I think we can do that as the people of God. I think we can infiltrate friendship groups, playgrounds, workplaces, and change the temperature. I also think we can join in and blend and be like everyone else. I would love us to pass on what we know in God and start speaking it over other people. So if people around you are desperate or lonely, I'd love us to start being a people that start speaking in truth. Not nodding and saying, oh, that must be so tough. But saying, actually, can I pray? I know a God who feels differently. I know a God who wants to meet you in that. I know a God who's got better for you. I love us to exercise our authority as priests. Because we're priests, we get to access all God's stuff. We can pray for the sick. And you might not always see them healed. But I tell you, every time I've prayed with someone, I felt a sense of God there in the room. I felt like God wanted to do something. And maybe I've not seen people get out of wheelchairs yet, but I have seen people walk free of depression, anxiety. I have seen people walk free of labels that they've held their whole life that have held them back. I have also seen physical healing too. But I believe there is freedom for us when we exercise authority as priests and not just people. So I'm not just a person on the earth, I'm a priest. I minister before God and to the people around me. And then lastly, I'd love us to get rid of unhelpful labels that do not bring us life, but actually bring us down. I'd love us to help one another with this in life groups, in friendship, in relationship, to be praying for one another, to be calling out and saying, actually, you should not walk around with that any longer. That does not feel like that brings you life. That does not look like you walk as someone who knows God. Let's help you with that. I love us to be, you know, as unpopular as I am sometimes by calling out labels and saying, no, you can't wear that anymore. Let me help. Let me get my thumbs on that. Let me give that a little rub. I can promise you it's a little hard work getting stubborn labels off of things. You will feel a little bit of pressure on that. You will need more than one go. You know, there's labels where you need more than one go to get it off. You've got to get a little bit of wash up on it, a scourer. You've got to get your fingers really in it. There are times when we need that in God. We need people to press in a bit and help us remove some of the stubborn labels that have walked around with us our whole lives. So I'm going to ask us to stand with the band, come up and join us. And we are going to worship. We're going to get before our God. We're going to see what he would like to do in our hearts. And we are going to make a decision in this room, I believe, to allow other people in our world to help us with our stuff. I've been grateful for the men and women in my life that have pressed in and have, with their thumbs and a little bit of wash up and a scourer, have helped get rid of some of the things that don't need to remain in my life. So let's worship, and then we'll see what God wants to say and do.